The theme of this morning's sermon is Keep Praying. And so Christine and Helen Irwin are going to read to us first from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and then from Matthew's Gospel chapter 7.
There was a man named Elkanah from the tribe of Ephraim who lived in the town of Ramah in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham and grandson of Elihu, and belonged to the family of Tohu, part of the clan of Zoph. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. One day, after they had finished their meal in the house of the Lord at Shiloh, Hannah got up. She was deeply distressed, and she cried bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Meanwhile, Eli the priest was sitting in his place by the door. Hannah made a solemn promise. Almighty God, look at me, your servant. See my trouble and remember me. Don't forget me. If you give me a son, I promise that I will dedicate him to you for his whole life and that he will never have his hair cut. Hannah continued to pray to the Lord for a long time, and Eli watched her lips. She was praying silently. Her lips were moving, but she made no sound. So Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "Stop making a drunken show of yourself. Stop your drinking and sober up." "No, I'm not drunk, sir," she answered. "I haven't been drinking. I'm desperate, and I have been praying, pouring out my troubles to the Lord. Don't think I'm a worthless woman. I have been praying like this because I'm so miserable." "Go in peace," Eli said, "and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked him for." "May you always think kindly of me," she replied, and she went away, ate some food, and was no longer sad. The next morning, Elkanah and his family got up early, and after worshipping the Lord, they went back home to Ramah. Elkanah had intercourse with his wife Hannah, and the Lord answered her prayer. So it was that she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel and explained, "I asked the Lord for him."
The second reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and anyone who seeks will find, and the door will be opened to those who knock. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a stone when he asks for bread? Or would you give him a snake when he asks for a fish? Bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" This is the word. Thanks be to God.
That's a great story, is it not, in the story of Hannah praying. "I am desperate," she says, "and I have been praying, pouring out my troubles to the Lord." Let's pray. And let's pray that God will speak to us. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path." Oh God, guide us. Give us fresh light and understanding in how we may live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Evelyn Christensen tells the story in her book on prayer of how her husband one day walked into his church and saw the caretaker fairly dripping with perspiration, absolutely exhausted, as he was vacuuming their meeting place. She writes, "Alas, as my husband saw him struggling with the vacuum cleaner, he looked down and saw there lying on the floor was the plug. The dear man had vacuumed the whole auditorium, but didn't have the plug in the socket. Isn't that what happens to many of us? We work, we pull, we struggle, and we plan until we're utterly exhausted, but we've forgotten to plug into the source of power. And that source of power is prayer. Jesus said and still says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. A simple statement. And this morning you just have a simple sermon in which I will encourage you as I will encourage myself to pray and to pray and to pray. Ask, said Jesus, and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive, and anyone who seeks will find, and the door will be open to those who knock. In other words, Jesus is saying, get down to the business of praying. He doesn't say, think about praying. He doesn't say, get yourself in the right mood for praying. Prayer isn't a matter of deliberating or feeling, it's a matter of doing. Ask, seek, knock. Now, yes, there is much more to prayer than simply asking. I know that. You will tell me, and rightly so, that prayer involves listening to God. And I personally find a very helpful aid to listen to God is to open the scriptures, to reflect upon them, to chew upon them, as it were. And as I think about a particular passage, God sometimes speaks to me. I hear him pointing me, encouraging me, or whatever. Prayer involves listening. Prayer involves, too, worshipping God, praising God for who he is, thanking him for what he's done, confessing our sins, acknowledging we've made a mess of our lives. Yes, prayer is all those things. But prayer is also asking, seeking, knocking. But someone might say, but why do we have to ask? Does God need to be told what we need? Did not Jesus himself earlier in the Sermon on the Mount say that our Heavenly Father will care for us because he knows our needs? And that's true. So why then ask? Why not simply trust God to meet our needs? Why not simply say to God, your will be done. I'll take whatever you give. God does know our need. But time and again, he only gives as we express our conscious need of him and our total dependence upon him. He waits for us to recognize our need. And I believe that's why Jesus says, ask and you will receive. And why later James adds, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. So let's not be afraid to ask God for what we need. But Jesus didn't simply say pray. In this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, he also said, pray and keep praying. Pray persistently. I find it interesting that in Luke's Gospel, these words of Jesus to ask, seek, and knock are preceded by the parable of the grumpy neighbor. You remember the parable? Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you should go to a friend's house at midnight and say, friend, let me borrow 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine who's on a journey has just come to my house and I haven't got any food for him. And suppose your friend should answer from inside, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Well, what then? I tell you that even if he will not get up and give you everything you need because you are his friend, yet he will get up and give you everything you need because you're not ashamed to keep on asking. I mean, the scenario is this. It's gone midnight. There's this guy banging on the door. And the guy upstairs in bed doesn't want to come down, but he knows that this guy's going to wake up all the children. And in the end, he's forced to give. Jesus adds, so I say to you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And the context makes it clear in Luke. Don't give up praying, says Jesus. Persist in asking until God answers your prayer. But actually, even if we didn't have Luke's gospel, we would still understand this element of persistency here in Matthew. Because the three verbs that are used, ask, seek, knock, imply a sense of urgency. You know, if a child wants something and sees that his mother is near and visible, he asks. And if she's not around and he still wants whatever he wants, he goes to find her, he seeks. And if for one reason or another she's locked herself into the bedroom, then he bangs on the door, does he not? No child wanting something desperately will ever give up. And we shouldn't give up either. And incidentally, if you're into grammar, ask, seek, knock, these are actually verbs in the present tense. It's the present imperative. Literally, Jesus is saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Be persistent. Now, why do we have to be persistent? Is God a mean old codger who only gives gifts to his children somewhat grudgingly? No, I think the idea here is that God wants to see if we are really serious about our praying. You know, sometimes I turn up to prayer meetings and I really wonder whether people are serious about praying. You know, we go around the room and we mention this and we mention that, and then something else, and something in addition. It's as if once we've mentioned something once, then that's it. Whereas I think Jesus says to us, you know, when you pray, you gather around the ball, as you were. You work away at it. You don't just say something once, an amen. If you really, really, really need something, then make that clear to God. And when God doesn't appear to be answering our prayers, I wonder whether he's sometimes testing us and saying, are you really serious about that? Pray persistently. And also pray expectantly. Believe that God is going to hear your prayer. Ask, says Jesus, and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Jesus doesn't say, ask and you may receive. Oh no, you will. And Jesus goes on to underline the certainty of God's response, for he says, everyone who asks receives, and anyone who seeks finds, and the door will be open to those who know. And what's more, says Jesus, God never mocks our prayers. And Jesus goes on to tell three very short parables. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a stone when he asks for bread? Or would you give him a snake when he asks for fish? And then in Luke's gospel, or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? And the clear implication is no. God doesn't play dirty tricks on his children. He doesn't give a stone instead of bread. Now that seems a strange idea, doesn't it? But you've got to realize that the little round limestone stones on the shores of Lake Galilee were exactly the same shape and colour of the little loaves that first century Palestinian women used to bake. The only difference between a stone and a Palestinian loaf was that one you could eat and the other you couldn't. And then this business of not giving a snake instead of a fish. Actually, it's probably not giving an eel instead of a fish. Eels, as far as Jews were concerned, couldn't be eaten because they were an unclean fish. And to give your son an eel would be to mock your son's anger. And this business of giving a scorpion instead of an egg. Scorpion, as you know, is a dangerous animal. It clutches its victim in its lobster-like claws, and with its tail it gives the nastiest of stings. Now, why the comparison between a scorpion and an egg? I'm told that there's a pale kind of scorpion which, when folded up, looks like an egg. But God isn't in the business, says Jesus, of giving his children painful surprises. Indeed, he adds, bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more, then, will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's precisely because God wants to give us good things that we can pray expectantly. And the scriptures teach us that where there is no sense of expectancy, then God doesn't answer. Where prayers are simply pious hopes, where prayers are simply moans or wishes, nothing happens. So in the context of praying for wisdom, James once wrote, you should pray to God because God gives generously and graciously to all. But when you pray, you must believe. Or in the context of healing a disturbed child, Jesus himself said, when you pray and ask for something, believe that you have received it and you'll be given whatever you ask for. Well, that makes me excited, doesn't it, you? And at first sight, prayer appears to be like an Aladdin's lamp. The moment we rub our prayer lamp, that moment God, the magic genie, instantly appears to do our bidding. But the moment, of course, we put it that way, we know we've got it wrong. Because prayer isn't a form of magic. And we're not dealing with a mere genie, but rather we're dealing with Almighty God. In no way can we manipulate God, however much faith we may have. Indeed, God wouldn't be much of a God if we could manipulate him in such a manner. And indeed, our own experiences teach us that not all our prayers are answered in the way we want. Now, at times, that is a puzzle. And at times, it is tough when our prayers are not answered. On the other hand, sometimes it's jolly good that our prayers aren't answered, because we don't always know what is best. I mean, just imagine the strain it would impose on us if we knew that we would be certain to get whatever we asked for. We might actually end up in trouble. We may imagine we're asking for bread, but in the end, the bread we're asking for may prove a stone. God is no genie. He is our Father. And he answers our prayers by giving what he deems to be best. And just as wise parents never give their children all that their kids ask, so God, our Heavenly Father, only wants to give us good gifts. Yes, pray expectantly. Pray believing that God will hear and that God will answer. But recognizing that God doesn't always answer in the way that we want. And fourthly, we are to pray for God's best. What are we to pray for in particular? What are the good things that Jesus would like us to pray for? A new car? A new house? Winning £1 million in the lottery? You know, God, I'll tithe, I'll even double tithe if you give me £1 million. Is that it? I find the parallel passage in Luke 11 instructive. For there we find a slightly different form of words. Jesus says, bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In Matthew's Gospel, we have the words about how much more will the Father in heaven give good things. In Luke's Gospel, how much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is good. And God does give good things. God does not limit us to the things for which we pray. God is interested in every aspect of our lives, both great and small. But the clear implication of combining Matthew 7:11 with Luke 11:13, is that God's very best is the gift of his Holy Spirit. And that's not surprising when you think about it. Because, as it's been said, the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus in his absence. Or as Jesus once said, the Holy Spirit is the helper, the one who draws alongside us in our weakness, the one who enables us to cope with each and every experience in life. So when it comes to praying, Jesus encourages us to pray first and foremost not for material things like cars and houses, but rather for a greater experience of his Spirit in our lives. And ultimately, isn't that what we most need? Yes, God has already blessed us with his Spirit, but few of us live our lives constantly in the power of the Spirit. Time and again, through our own sinfulness and selfishness, we quench God's Spirit in our lives. And how much do we need to know God at work in our lives in a new way? Let's pray and keep praying for that very best of gifts. Interestingly, even without the alternative reading to be found in Luke's Gospel, the thrust of Jesus' teaching on prayer here in Matthew's Gospel would still be the same. For in the light of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, it's clear that the good things which Jesus encourages his disciples to pray for are things which relate to the kingdom. So, for instance, in Matthew 6, over against people's concern for material things such as food, drink, and clothing, Jesus said, "Be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you." Yes, in the Lord's Prayer, we can ask for bread. But the very first petition is to pray for the coming of the kingdom. And within the context of the Sermon on the Mount, it's clear that the kingdom of heaven requires purity of heart, poverty of spirit, truth, compassion, a non-retaliatory spirit, a life of integrity. In other words, to pray for the kingdom is to pray that God's Spirit will rule in our hearts and our lives. Jesus says, pray. And when we do pray, don't be vague. I feel like saying, ask for Hague, you know. Let's be specific. Pray persistently. If you really mean it, keep on praying. Pray expectantly. Be confident and don't doubt that God is listening to your prayers. Keep on praying, knowing that God will give you his best and recognizing that the very best is the gift of God's Spirit in his fullness. Let's pray. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? O God, our Father, what fools we so often are. We talk about praying, but all too often we do not really pray. Or if we do pray, then we expect little and pray little too. O God, hear this morning the prayers of our hearts as we lift our loved ones to you. As we bring before you the concerns and challenges of the week ahead. And bless us too. Bless us above all with a fresh empowering of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.